So, for those of you without the bulletin in front of you, the sermon title is, Does Salvation Change Us? Really? It's another one of those double questions. And it comes from, as may be clear from that, although our Habakkuk, however you pronounce that worthy prophet, I've never really known, there's certainly some discussion about salvation there too. But it comes primarily, and what we're going to talk about mostly is our story coming out of Luke. And we have the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. And if I could remember the tune, I would perhaps consider singing, Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. But I don't remember the tune, and I'm not entirely sure the song would enhance what we're actually talking about, because we're not so much talking about Zacchaeus as we're talking about salvation. And we're looking at Zacchaeus from it. And one of the things we're looking at, and something that a number of us occasionally fall into, is we're going to correct what may be a misunderstanding of this passage for some of you, or perhaps not. And it comes from the end of our reading. It comes from verse 9. And it comes after Zacchaeus has said that he's going to give half his possessions to the poor, and if he's cheated anybody, he's going to pay it back. Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And I have run across people who have alluded to this in conversation. I've had some tell it to me point blank to my face, and I've heard some people even pronounce this from the pulpit, that because Zacchaeus gave back what he'd stolen, salvation came to his house, came to him, which is completely wrong. I just want to make sure you know how I feel about this. It's completely wrong. Salvation did not come to Zacchaeus because he gave stuff back. Salvation did not come to Zacchaeus because he cleaned up his life, because salvation never comes then. Salvation came to Zacchaeus, and because of salvation, he gave half his possessions to the poor. Because of salvation, he paid back four times to anybody he had cheated. It never, ever works the other way around. And I'm shocked that it is ever suggested that way. Nowhere in Scripture is it suggested that if we clean ourselves up sufficiently, we will then achieve salvation. It never works that way. It's one of those passages that just the way we think, because it where it comes, where Jesus says that at the end, we think, well, it's cause and effect. Zacchaeus becomes a better person, so God saves him. No, God doesn't do it that way. God saved Zacchaeus because he was a son of Abraham. God saved Zacchaeus because he was lost. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost, is one of those verses that we should commit to, if not so much memory, that's not a memorization task before us, but what's going on there is something that we should never lose sight of. Jesus came to save what was lost. He didn't come to save what was found. You don't have to save what was found. That's not a problem. You don't look for what you already have. But that pulls us back to our sermon title. Does salvation change us? Really? Does it change us? And for a number of us, the question is actually kind of poignant. Because when we figure out what the correct sequence is in the Zacchaeus story, and we understand what's actually happening there, and we look at our own lives, for most of us, or at least for many of us, we say, well, I've never given back half, or given half of what I own to the poor. I've never paid back the people I cheated because, well, I never cheated anybody, at least not that I know of. And for many of us, we look at this and we say, well, you know, we see Zacchaeus, who, just out of curiosity perhaps, climbs a tree, like does something dramatic, climbs a tree to address the fact that he was short, is sought out by Jesus specifically in front of everybody. There's, you know, that didn't happen to us. We think of Paul when he was still Saul, riding his horse on his way to Damascus, gets knocked off his horse by something, not blind, goes from being a well-known persecutor of the church to the pillar of the church, one of the primary builders of the church that we now have. And you say, well, that never happened to me. I never knocked off a horse or, well, the functional equivalent. I never had a car accident that made me blind and changed my life entirely. But I never persecuted the church either. So, does salvation change me, really? Well, yes, it does. And it's perfectly natural, it's perfectly normal, it's understandable, it's part of being human that we gravitate to those stories, those dramatic stories. And we remember them because they're dramatic. It's just like news. The news, the people on the news never tell us that today was exactly like yesterday. That's not news, because most days are exactly like yesterday. We hardly ever get news stories that tell us that a bunch of people went to work, did their best all day, came home, had a good evening with their family, and went to bed. Well, why don't we hear about that? Because it's not news. It's not different. We remember what's different. We remember what is dramatic. But that doesn't change the fundamental reality of all of those other things. The fact that it doesn't make the news that, you know, we went to work, we did our day, we had a good opportunity of interaction with a few people, we had a pleasant supper with those who we live with, we went to bed and had a good night's sleep. It doesn't change how wonderful that is. It doesn't change the fact that all of those things happened. It doesn't change the fundamental value of all of those things either. When we look at our own salvation and we say, well, did it really change us? We're probably the worst person to ask, because we don't know those things that change within us. We don't notice them. It's like we don't notice frequently when our children are growing. And I'm sure all of you who have children, or even, you know, you need to spend daily contact with these little people when they're growing. But how many of you had that experience when somebody who hasn't seen your kids for a while comes and says, wow, look how much they've grown. And you look at them and go, they have. Well, it's not like you didn't notice. It's not like you were blind or that you had your eyes shut. Frequently, you're the one who took them to the store and bought them clothes that fit them because they were... But you don't notice that they've grown, because it happens incrementally, little tiny bits every day, and you suddenly realize that, wait a second, I used to hug my twins like this, and now I'm kind of hugging them like this, because they're big now. The fact that I didn't notice, the fact that it wasn't dramatic, doesn't change the fundamental growth that they've gone through. And in our own lives, our own transition from not faith to faith that we call salvation, particularly here, because in at least in this translation, that's the actual word. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, come to this man. We use that word to describe the transition from not believing in God through Jesus as the ultimate source of everything that matters, and that faith that takes us from non-belief into belief, salvation. And we look at it and say, well, has it really made any difference? You should probably ask the people around you who knew you before and after. Now, that's a challenge if you grew up in the church and you never, in a sense, there's never a time you weren't saved. That whole born up or grown up, born again notion, which, you know, we have to pay attention to. It's mostly used for humor. But when you grew up in the church and you never had a significant period of time wandering in the wilderness or anything, if you never had that opportunity to dramatically change your life, if you talk to the people who knew you before you made a conscious decision to follow God, before you ratified your own baptism, if you will, the faith that your parents had within you, or whatever transition you made at confirmation or at a meeting of some kind, doesn't matter where it happened. But ask the people who knew you before and know you now. And for that matter, ask the people who have known you for a long time. And you'll probably find, I would be even willing to guarantee it, that you have not been static this whole time. that you have not stayed exactly the same. And I would also put it to you that you have not gotten worse. That when you talk to people who have known you for a long time, or who knew you before and after, if you ask them the right kinds of questions, because often people think you're fishing for compliments or something here, and so sometimes it takes a long time to have this conversation, to finally get to the point. And you will find that, no, you have grown in grace. That salvation has changed you into a person who is closer to Jesus than you were before. We often look at those early days or those mountaintop experiences we have. We go to a great set of meetings, perhaps, or we have a profound experience of meeting God through our own personal devotional time reading Scripture. And we look at those moments and we say, well, we're not like that, so we must have slid backwards somehow. Well, no, you haven't. Someone who's climbed a mountain, just because they've come down, is someone who has always climbed a mountain. You have been changed, always. What you do changes you. Does this mean that you are perfect? Of course not. Does it even mean you're closer to perfection? Well, our Wesleyan friends notwithstanding, I'm not so sure about that. But what I do know is that you are more like Jesus now than you were when you first started. Because that's the way it works. The Holy Spirit comes within us and transforms us to be more like Jesus than we were before. But most of the time, it's just like trying to watch your 7-year-old grow. I could follow Neela around all day, every day, and just watch her, and I'm pretty sure I wouldn't see her grow. Because it's just too small a change when you measure it in minutes or hours or even days. And it's the same with us growing into more Christ-like rather than less. Is that it doesn't happen in these huge moments, at least not very often. Sometimes it does. But then again, sometimes people have growth spurts where even their parents notice. My children never had these really dramatically, but I can remember my parents talking about my brothers. I seem to go, like most people, it's sort of growing, like, well, grew normally, but nothing dramatic. But like I can remember them talking about my older brother having to buy him 3 different pairs of pants over the summer. He's 6'7", and he tended to put it on in big pieces at a time. So every once in a while, yes, you do notice those things. And there are times of profound interaction with God, as I said, through Scripture or through a great worship experience or whatever it is. Sometimes it's through a crisis. Sometimes it's through a celebration. And we look at that and say, wow, this has changed me. This moment that I wouldn't have without that initial salvation, this moment here has changed me. Because salvation isn't a one-time thing. When Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house, he's not saying that it's come to this house like a rainstorm, and when it's gone, it's gone. Salvation comes and stays. That's why I sometimes wish that we could speak Greek. Not often. Well, actually, I wish I could speak more Greek, because one of my coworkers is Greek, and it would just be kind of fun to know what he's talking about sometimes, because he just switches to Greek with his grandparents, who are perfectly bilingual but are more comfortable in Greek. But there is the sense in most, particularly Paul's writing, when he writes about salvation, he uses a particular Greek tense that says we have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. And so that's what salvation means, that we have been saved, but we are in the midst of being saved, because it's an ongoing thing. And we eventually will be saved when it will be a done deal. At the end of our own time, whether that's for everybody, if God comes back and wraps it all up when we're all alive, or when we pass from this world into the next, that's when salvation ends, because it will be complete then. Zacchaeus was completely saved, but his salvation wasn't complete. You have to do all these verbal tricks in English to get across what this actually means. But salvation changes us. But it changes us the same way growth changes our children. And when we get to the other end, when our bones start to lose mass and we start shrinking a little bit, you don't suddenly go, in my case, from being 6'2" to being 5'9" overnight. I might end up being 5'9" if I live long enough. I don't know, but it happens very slowly. Salvation is the same thing, and our time frame is often so short. We look at it and say, God has, it's not that he's forgotten me, but he's just not doing anything with me. But he is. He's changing us. He's changing you, and he's changing me every day. Some days I resist that change, and some days I'm sure I take a step backwards. But he's moving me forward. And as I've said often, I have the benefit or the liability, however you want to look at it, of having come to faith as an older person, of having a dramatic change. And in some ways that hasn't been all that terribly good for me, because often I think, well, I haven't had anything like that for years. Well, I don't need anything like that anymore. The growth that I'm having now is just as real, is just as profound, and is just as necessary to make me into the person that I was created to be. Salvation has changed me, and it has changed all of you. It hasn't made us suddenly 6'10". It hasn't created differences of that nature. It doesn't often change the way we look, although it certainly changed the way I did, to the point where, as I've said before, people didn't recognize me in pictures. I said, who is that? That's me. Can't be you. Looks happy. Well, I was happy. I said, I've never seen you happy before. Like, that's how dramatic a change that change was for me. But the changes that I've enjoyed in the last 10 years, I look back and I can see them. I can see them now, but I didn't see them when they were happening. Salvation has changed us and continues to change us. The fact that maybe we never had anything like Zacchaeus doesn't change the fundamental reality that God came into our lives and changed us in ways that continue to blossom. So yes, perhaps our salvation story or our story of relationship with God through Jesus isn't all that dramatic, isn't all that exciting now. Drama and excitement of that sort, we don't need to be there. That's news. Nothing wrong with being part of a news story every once in a while. But most of the time, we're just ourselves. So we have been changed. Really, we have. And if we're wondering about it, then maybe we need to talk to some people who've known us for a long time and see where we've grown, because it's slipped our attention. But the Holy Spirit within us is making a difference within us every day, making us more and more into the people we were created to be. Amen. Let us pray.